Blog Talk Radio. And we are live for Fan for Racing NASCAR Weekend Preview. And this is Thursday night, February the 11th. And we'll be previewing Daytona as well as New Smyrna Speedways this weekend because there's going to be a lot of racing action going on at the track. Joining me tonight is two of our Fan for Racing writers, Brian Law and Joe Lewis. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks, Sharon. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Sharon. How you doing?
We're doing great. I am really looking forward to our show tonight. What we're going to do is we're going to start off by previewing the Can-Am East Racing Series at New Smyrna Speedway to start off the show. Then from there, we'll go to our interview with Cole Powell. He's going to be joining us at 9 p.m. Eastern time tonight, and we'll chat with him. He actually participated in a practice session with the ARCA Racing Series today, so we'll be able to get direct from him his thoughts about that practice session. He did pretty well, finishing, I think he actually tied for fifth and had some pretty good speeds there. So we'll talk to him more about that at 9 o'clock. And then after that interview, we will, before and after that interview, I should say, we will do the ARCA Racing Series preview because they have their season opener at Daytona this Saturday. And we'll talk about that and kind of get fans ready for that event. And then Saturday night is a much-anticipated Sprint Unlimited with the Sprint Cup Series guys. So really looking forward to chatting with you guys and getting your thoughts about that.
Perfect. Now, looking forward to it.
I'm sorry?
I'll say I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. I think we all are. Now, a couple of things, housekeeping kind of things I want to get out of the way here. I want to kind of take care of, I shouldn't say get out of the way, but I want to take care of them, is that we're going to do a giveaway tonight, guys. We very rarely get an opportunity to do this, but we were contacted and we were able to work out something where we can do a giveaway tonight with Hunt Brother Pizza Racing and some Kevin Harvick swag. So, listeners, I want you to stay tuned tonight because we're going to do a trivia question later on tonight. And if you can answer that question and be the first one to respond with the correct answer, then you'll have a chance at winning that Kevin Harvick swag. But let me tell you, first of all, how everybody who's listening tonight can be a winner with Hunt Brothers Pizza, because they'll be, if you buy a full-size Hunt's Brother Pizza, take a photo of the proof of purchase stamp that's on the box, and then upload that photo at huntbrotherpizza.com/herocard. When you do that, you're going to receive a free autographed limited edition Kevin Harvick hero card, and that will come directly to you. Now, the swag that we're giving away tonight is an addition to that. So it's for one lucky winner on our show tonight. If you can answer the trivia question that we're going to ask you later on tonight, if you can answer that question correctly, then you have a chance at winning the Kevin Harvick Hunt Brothers Pizza swag. So definitely stay tuned for tonight. Now what I want to do is I want to do introductions for our Fan for Racing writers. They've been patiently waiting here for us to kind of take care of some business, and I want to introduce to you both of our writers. Let's start with Brian Law. Brian, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I live in Columbus, Mississippi. If anyone out there who keeps up with the SEC football knows, I live between Tuscaloosa and Starkville, which is, of course, Mississippi State and Alabama territory, if you know what I'm talking about. I've been writing NASCAR articles for over, a little over a year now, and annoyed that I've been writing SEC football articles. And this is the first time I'm doing this radio deal, and everything is something new to me. And I've been other than that, I mean, I love NASCAR and everything else.
Okay. And our next fan for racing writer is Joe Lewis. Joe, tell us a little something about yourself.
Thanks, Sharon. I'm way up here in Canada, minus 16 Celsius this morning, by the way. And
oh,
I've loved NASCAR since mid-80s, I guess. I started going to Michigan back then. And I have a beautiful wife, two beautiful daughters, and I'm very passionate about this sport. So I thought I'd start blogging, and I created my own website, victorylanenews.com. And I'm thrilled to be working with you and Brian, and I'm happy to be a co-host of the show.
Same here.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. I'm really happy to have both of you for our NASCAR weekend preview. Every Thursday night now during the racing season, we'll be here to give our thoughts and to kind of help prepare fans for what to watch and what to look for in the racing over the upcoming weekend. What I want to get started with is the K&N East. It's the Jet Tools 100 at New Smyrna Speedway this weekend. And, boy, the entry list is just amazing. A lot of really big names on that entry list. And I'm really looking forward to kind of talking about this because they're going to be racing, by the way, on Sunday. That's February the 14th, Valentine's Day. And they are going to be at New Smyrna Speedway. So if you're out in that area, I really want fans to take some time to get out there to the track and check out this race. Just some quick facts real quick. It's race number one of 14 races for the season. The track layout, it's a half-mile track at 0.480 miles, and it's a paved oval. They're going to race 150 laps or 72 miles, and I think it's going to be it's actually the Jet Tools 150. I think I said 100 earlier. But I want to talk to you guys. I know we've got several drivers that are going to be racing this weekend. A lot of rookies are in this field, but I want to talk to you guys about who you think are the drivers to watch this weekend at New Smyrna in the Jet Tools 150. Brian, let's start with you.
Okay, you know, I'm sort of new to the K&N series. You know, I've mostly kept up with the Sprint Cup and everything. From what I looked at, I think last year's champion Austin Hill. If I'm looking at this right, I don't see him on the list as far as I know. But if I'm looking at this right, you got looks like you got seven drivers coming back from last year, and your highest finisher last year was Dylan Bass in sixth place. And how often do you think that would be an advantage for him?
Well, the fact that he's returning is certainly going to be an advantage. So I agree with you. I think Dylan Bassett is one of the guys to watch. Austin Hill is not going to be in this race, I don't believe, this year because he's moved on. I think he's racing the Camping World Truck Series race. So, but Dylan Bassett last year did have one win at Pennsylvania's Motordrome Speedway. And he finished sixth in his debut in New Smyrna last year. So I agree. He's definitely one of the drivers to keep an eye on. Joe, who's the driver that you're going to keep an eye on this weekend?
Thanks, Sharon. There's a few. I'm interested in watching Harrison Burton, Jeff's son.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's a rookie, but two starts last year. Both finishes were 11th and 6th. which is quite amazing for his age. Plus, he's a three-time quarter midget champion. And I was looking, I was doing some research on him. He won his first pro late model race when he was only 12 years old. So I think this guy is definitely one to watch. And another one I'm interested in is Ruben Garcia Jr., a 2015 NASCAR Mexico Series champion. And he was runner-up in 14, I believe. So I'm looking to see some big things out of him this year.
Okay. I think those are great picks. One of the drivers I want to pick is Cole. I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm thinking ARCA Racing Series. I want to watch and see what Ryan Preece does. Ryan Preece has been racing in the NASCAR Whelen Modified Series. Last year, he made a K&N East debut at Richmond, where he finished 14th after starting in from the 35th starting position. So I thought that was pretty impressive. He was also the 2013 Whelen Modified Tour champion, and in 2015, he was announced as NASCAR Next Driver. I'm sorry, he's actually an alum of the NASCAR Next program, and he is going to compete this year full-time in the NASCAR Xfinity Series for 2016 with JD Motorsports. So there's some good things happening for Ryan Preece. He's going to be driving the number 31 car in this race, and I am kind of curious to see how well he does, because after he races the K&N East race, he's going to be racing in the Xfinity Series next weekend, so I'm sure this is preparation for him. Any other drivers you're keeping an eye on, Brian?
Let's see, from what I've looked at, you got if I look at this right, this is like the third year that the K&N East is running a new Smyrna, correct?
Races previous, and this is the third year, yes.
Okay, now looks like probably the biggest and favorites is like you got, I think it's Kaz Garza, I think.
Kaz Grala.
Kaz Garza and Ronnie Bassett Jr. Garza had his last finish was 10th, and only Bassett Jr., he's only finished in the top 20 twice. And looks like they have more experience, and they could possibly have an opportunity to possibly finish better.
Kaz is a great driver, and it'll be fun to see what he does at New Smyrna. What about you, Brian? Any other drivers you think we should keep our eye on?
Let's see. That's about all I got right now.
Well, I'm talking Joe. Joe, do you have any other drivers?
Actually, I'm going to watch Cole Custer. I'm a little partial to him because he's in Kenny Schrader equipment. He's one of my all-time favorites. And I know Schrader usually brings stout motors. So I'm looking for him to move up pretty quick.
I said ARCA Racing, didn't I? I really meant the K&N East Series. I apologize.
That's okay.
First time Jitter's here.
That's okay. We'll work through it. Okay. You mentioned Todd Gilliland earlier. I do think that he's one of the drivers that are going to be fun to watch. He's racing with Bill McAnally Racing this year, and became the youngest race winner in K&N West history last year with his debut race at Phoenix. He was just 15 years, 5 months, and 28 days old. He's going to race full-time with the K&N West this year and some select K&N East races, including the one at New Smyrna this weekend. So I think he's another driver that was a good pick for you, Joe, that you mentioned to
earlier.
Yeah,
I agree.
Okay. Any other K&N West East drivers?
That's about it for me.
Okay, that's fine. Another one that I'm going to throw out is Noah Gregson. Noah Gregson finished second last year in the K&N West Series He had 2 wins. He had 7 top 5s and 11 top 10 finishes. He finished 35th in the Can-Am standings last year with 2 top 10s and 2 starts. So don't be misled by that 35th place showing for him. He only raced 2 races in the Can-Am last year. But I really think that he could be a driver to watch because he was also the Sunoco Rookie of the Year in the Can-Am West last year. And I really want to see what he does this week at New Smyrna Speedway. Let me just mention some of the rookies that are going to be in this race because there are quite a few rookies that are in the race this weekend. Let's see. Well, let me first say these are the drivers that are returning, including 3 from the East and 3 from the West. Dylan Bassett, we've mentioned, Kyle Benjamin from the East, and Colin Cabre from the East. Todd Gilliland, Noah Gregson, and Grayson Raz are all from the West, and they're returning. 3 Can-Am East winners entered the season opener and each have 1 win apiece. So those are all drivers to definitely keep an eye on this weekend. The rookies that are in the race this weekend. Let me just get this list here real quick. They're making their debut. We talked to J.A. Jr. on Monday. Haro Avila Jr. is his given name. Hunter Bays is going to be a rookie. David Calabrese, Ulysses Deliso, Tyler Dipple, Clay Green, Riley Herbst, who we've had on the show before, is going to be a rookie this weekend, along with Reed Wilson and Dominic Van Wieringen. I have a tough time with that name. But she is going to be racing this weekend in the Can-Am East, along with another female driver that I want to give a shout-out to, and that is Sarah Cornett-Ching. She's going to be racing this weekend in the Can-Am East as well as the Can-Am West. I'm sorry, as well as the ARCA Racing Series. So two other drivers to really keep your eye on. Do you guys, have you picked your race winner for the Jet Tools 150?
Looks like, looks like your best bet right now is probably either depend on experience or depend on last year. And looks like, as far as finishing is concerned, looks like Bassett probably the only favorite.
Okay, that's your favorite for going into New Smyrna. And who's your favorite, Joe?
Sharon, I'm going with, again, Ruben Garcia Jr.
Okay.
I think he's going to run really well this year. I'm interested to watch him.
Okay, I think those are both really good picks. I think both of them have a really good chance at having a good run this week out there at New Smyrna Speedway. I'm going to go Daniel Suarez won the year before. Austin Hill won last year. I'm going to go with, I'm really kind of undecided here. I'm going to say Todd Gilliland. And I know that probably sounds like an odd choice, but I'm going to put Todd Gilliland out there because his dad is really good out at these small tracks. And I know he's had a lot of encouragement from his dad, David Gilliland, and I'm going to give him the kudos for going out there and getting another win in a debut race. I've been really impressed with him so far, and let's see what he does this weekend. And that race, again, is this Sunday at New Smyrna Speedway. And, again, if you're in that area, get out there to the track and check it out. And if you want to follow along, if you can't get to the track this weekend and you want to follow along with what's happening at the racetrack for the Jet Tools 150, all you have to do is go to hometracks.nascar.com, and they have a Race Central there. You click on the race that you want to get the updates for, and they will keep you updated throughout the event of what's going on. And we'll probably talk about it on our Monday night show. So definitely check out this race. I wish they still televised it. NASCAR did televise it for a couple of years, and the last couple of years they haven't, and I really miss that. But I think it's going to be fun to see what happens this year in the K&N Pro Series East. Now, let's go ahead and start with the ARCA Racing Series. The ARCA Racing Series is going to be racing the Lucas Oil 200 this weekend at Daytona, and that's at 4 o'clock Eastern Time, and they will be on Fox Sports 1. You'll be able to watch that live on TV, so that's pretty exciting as well. Now, a lot of these drivers were testing today. I don't know if you guys had a chance to look at the practice session. I said testing, but they were practicing out at Daytona today, and Chase Briscoe topped the leaderboard today. And our guest that's coming up at 9 o'clock, Cole Powell, I mentioned that he tied for fifth place. He tied with William Byron, who is last year's Can-Am East champion, and they both came in at 47.745. At a speed of 188.501. So I'm going to start that off with some of the drivers to watch this weekend. Who are your drivers to watch, Joe?
I like Cole Cluster. I'm just impressed. He's the youngest super speedway winner in history, and he won a Pocono last year. That impressed me. Plus, he's running for Kenny Schrader, and everybody knows Schrader's got good equipment, is stable. So I like Cole and Grant Infinger. He's good too. 6 wins last year, 12 top fives. You can't beat that. So they're the two I'm going to follow more closely for sure.
Yeah, I wish Grant Infinger was racing this race because he would have a chance to kind of break some records or at least – meet the record this weekend if he was racing in the ARCA Racing Series. But Grant is now racing in the Camping World Truck Series with GMS
right.
Racing, and I don't think he's going to be there this weekend. So, but he would be a great pick if he was in the field for sure because Grant Infinger won that race the last 2 years. So I can appreciate where you're coming from with that pick. Brian, who are your picks of drivers to watch?
Let's see. Looks like if Gerhard wants to start his 3-peat again, it's probably his only chance to do it. I mean, from what I understood, he 3-peated at Daytona twice during the ARCA series there, and he probably might go shoot for number 7.
You never know.
Or he still got John West's family. I mean, I know he's pretty talented and everything. And it could be one of those two.
Okay, yeah, two really good picks. Bobby Gerhart's good on the super speedways. Another driver that's really good on the super speedways is Frank Kimmel. And Frank Kimmel has changed teams. He's now with Stang Racing. And they just made that announcement that he's kind of going back to his number 46 car. He's going to be starting his Encore touring season with Stang Racing this year. And I think it's pretty exciting that Frank Kimmel is going to be in the field. Last year he came close to winning that event, and he didn't quite do it. But I look for him to be definitely one of the drivers to watch this weekend, Frank Kimmel with Stang Racing. Let's see here. Some other drivers, Matt Kurzajewski, I think is another driver to keep an eye on. He also is in that Ken Schrader equipment, and Matt Kurzajewski has he raced a few races in the ARCA Racing Series last year, did really, really well, and I think he's going to be another driver to keep an eye on this weekend. J.A. Jr., again, we had him on the show Monday night, Haro Avila, and I think J.A. Jr. may be a driver to watch, too. He's going to be in Lyra Motorsports equipment along with Kyle Weatherman, his teammate. And Kyle Weatherman is another driver to keep an eye on because he did pretty well last year in the ARCA Racing Series and drove a few races with Lyra Motorsports. So there's some other drivers. And, of course, our guest that's coming up, Cole Powell, is another driver I think you need to keep your eye on, especially in light of the fact that he did so well in the practice session today. He's with Mason Mitchell Motorsports. Okay, do you guys have any other drivers that you want to shout out, or should we go on to the race winners here? Brian or Joe?
I'm pretty much stuck on my two.
I'm going to give a shout out to Sarah Kornaching,
yes,
only because finished seventh in points last year, I believe.
Yeah.
And she's Canadian from BC, so she's got my vote as a fellow Canadian up here. So I'm interested to see how she does as well.
Okay. Yeah, I think Sarah's a great choice as a driver to watch. We mentioned that she also is doing double duty between the ARCA Racing Series on Saturday and the K&N East on Sunday. I think this is Sarah's second season in the ARCA Racing Series. She's only going to race some select races, but she's going to race full-time in the K&N East. But I really want to see. She's been at these tracks before, so this is a return visit for her. I agree. I think she's a driver to watch. Cole Powell, by the way, is also from Columbia. He's from Ontario. I'm sorry, from Canada. He's from Ontario.
Yes. Yeah, Mount Bridges, I believe.
Yes.
I got to talk to him about that. But, yeah, and he practiced well. So, and this kid, everything he's been in, he wins. So, yeah, it should be fun watching him as well.
Okay. Another driver I want to shout out is Dylan Lupton. He's going to be with Empire Racing this season at the Daytona 500. It's great to see that he got a ride this year and that he is going to be racing this race. I think he's going to do really, really well, as well as Greg Galding, who's going to be in the Krispy Kreme car, again, at Lyra Motorsports in the number 38 car. So Greg Galding has a chance here to really come in and do well in the ARCA Racing Series. And another driver who finished second last year in the ARCA Racing Series was Austin Wayne Self with AM Technical Solutions in the number 33 car. I want to see what he does this year in an ARCA car. Because he's going to be racing the Championship Truck
last year.
Series. I'm sorry?
I was just saying, I was looking at the stats right here. He finished 15th last year at Daytona.
Yeah. So this is going to be a return visit for him, and I'm anxious to see how he does. Let's go with the race winners real quick. We've got hold on here. Maybe, yeah, we've got time. Our guest isn't quite here yet. Who's your race winner, Brian?
I'll shoot the family. I'll shoot for John West Townley.
Oh, you're shooting for John West Townley. Okay, good pick. He's usually fairly decent on the super speedways. Now, before we go to Joe's pick and my pick, I do want to go ahead and introduce our guest. Our guest has arrived, and I'm really excited to have him on the show tonight. He's with Mason Mitchell Motorsports. He's raced in the NASCAR Whelen Modifieds, but now he's going to be racing and the ARCA Racing Series this weekend with Mason Mitchell Motorsports. And he had a really great practice session. He came all the way from Ontario, Canada, to be in this race. So really looking forward to chatting with you, Cole Powell with Mason Mitchell Motorsports. Welcome to the show, Cole.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing great. You had a practice session out there at Daytona today, so I gave you a chance to get some seat time behind the wheel of your car. I believe you're driving the number 78 this year?
Yeah, I'll be driving at Daytona, number 78, Cops Build All Tri-Car Chevy for Mason Mitchell Motorsports. And today went really well. I was pretty confident waking up this morning that I figured I'd have a pretty good piece to go practice with today. And the guys didn't let me down, that's for sure. We were tied for fifth. Me and the 55 ran the identical time, so I was really happy with that.
Yeah, you tied with last year's Canaan East champion, and I think that's pretty impressive, Cole. Now, talk a little bit about your crew. I want to kind of get your crew out there as well, because they're the people behind the scenes that are helping you be able to finish tied with William Byron today out there at Daytona. Your crew, who's your crew chief and some of the people behind the scenes working with you this weekend?
Yeah, they got a bunch of good people over there at Mason Mitchell Motorsports. Mason and his dad, Russ, they run a really tight program over there. Really neat shop. Everything's organized. Jake, Fabricator, and all the guys in the shop there, they prepared a really, really good car. I was able to go down a week before. I brought my seat out of my super late model to put in the ARCA car, and when I showed up, there was already a seat in it from Spencer Boyd at the ARCA test, and it just so happened that I fit perfectly fine in his seat, so we didn't have to waste a day fabbing my seat in, and everything since I've got there has just seemed to go really, really smooth. We got Tony Stewart spotter for my eyes in the sky, and he did a really great job. And I put me on the spot here. I only met the crew chief here today for, I talked to him on the radio all day, but I only got to talk to him out of the car for a little bit. I actually didn't even get a chance to get his name. So,
that's quite all right.
Yeah, we were pretty busy. We made a couple single car runs, and we seemed to go to the top of the board during single car runs, and then as soon as everybody started drafting, we kind of fell back a little bit. And then once we got out in the draft, it's all about finding the fast group to go out and put up a good time. And we did an okay job of that, finishing fifth. But I think if we got with a little bit quicker guys, I think there's no reason why we couldn't be at the top of the board.
Well, you're definitely one of my drivers to watch this weekend. You've raced three times at Daytona, one time at Talladega. You got your best finish at Talladega, finishing third there last year. And it's going to be exciting to see what you do this weekend. Now, Cole, we've got the Fan for Racing writers here with me tonight, and I believe they have some questions for you as well. So we're going to go around the table here and give them an opportunity to ask a question too, okay?
Yeah, sure. Fire away.
Okay. We'll start with Joe Lewis. Joe?
Hi, Cole. Pleasure speaking with you. I'm a fellow Canadian as well.
Oh, perfect. What part are you from?
Just north of Toronto, a little town called Keswick, which you may or may not have heard of. It's about 35 minutes from Sunset Speedway, which I know you're familiar with.
Yeah, we ran there a couple times this summer, actually.
Right. In case you're wondering, minus 12 in Mountain Bridges this morning. A little different than what you're feeling now.
Yeah, I'm not missing home right now.
I got a question for you. January 28th, 2016 was Bell Let's Talk Day. And I notice you have the Let's Stop the Stigma sponsored on your car. You had it. And I'm a little familiar now with regards to why, but can you just tell us quickly how it affects you and your immediate family?
Yeah, it's not a sponsor. It's a campaign that we started. If you go to my website, www.colepowellracing.com, and you click my campaign, which is Let's Stop the Stigma, and give that article a read, you'd find out that mental health is pretty close to our family. My sister was diagnosed with bipolar, and she's had a hell of a battle fighting that, from medications, switching medications, getting her body familiar with everything, going through the highs and lows of depression, and something we don't really take lightly in my family, for sure. We've seen the worst, we've seen the best, and she's on a good road now. A lot of help back home, getting Morgan figured out, and getting her happy again to the Morgan that we all love and love to be around. So if you just go to my website and read that little article, the Bell Let's Talk, it'll all make sense.
Good for you, Cole. I think that's excellent. Way to go. Over to you, Brian.
Okay. How you doing, Cole? This is Brian from Mississippi. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Sharon had mentioned that this will be your fourth race overall at a super speedway. You did race Daytona twice. Your best finish overall on a super speedway was a Talladega third. Do you believe when you race a Daytona, could you use the third-place finish in Talladega as a learning experience? Do you feel that maybe it might help you give it an advantage of hopefully maybe another top-five finish maybe or possibly win the race?
Yeah, for sure. I take every my other two Daytona starts and my Talladega start all into consideration for what I'm going to do on Saturday. The first two Daytona times I ran there really went in the best of the best stuff. I had some lazy motors and whatnot, even though last year I got to lead a lap, but we went with a D motor instead of the Ilmar motor, and that was just an epic fail. They drove around me like I was sitting still. Until we got to Talladega, we brought Seth Smith and Kyle Moon into Lear Motorsports, and the three of us went over the car and got everything just right. And through Daytona and Talladega, just the biggest thing that I've learned is it's just a big patience game. I know I got a fast car, so if I can stay hugging that yellow line for the most part and not really move around unless I have to jump out to the outside and pass a few if the train's coming and it works, then obviously I'm going to do it and be a little aggressive that way. But it's just a big patience game. As long as you don't get caught up in somebody else's mess, and restarts are huge. I think you got to be overly aggressive on restarts. Because once it gets single file, you're just waiting for the guy in front of you to pull out, make a mistake, and you gain your spot. So I think it's a game of patience and get aggressive on the restarts.
Well, between the two, which one would be your favorite super speedway so far, either Daytona or Talladega?
I think Talladega is a little easier to drive. It's not as narrow. Talladega is a lot wider than Daytona, I feel. So I like Daytona just because it's the big stage of NASCAR. It's Daytona Speedway. I've been dreaming of racing there ever since a little kid, and if I can pull off a win, then words can't describe what I'd be feeling that day.
Okay. All right, thanks, Cole. Sharon, over to you.
Cole, you know, you bring up a good point there. You're racing with Mason Mitchell Motorsports at Daytona, but you don't really have a full ride for the season. And this would be huge for you. I think you were being a little mildly stating there just how big this would be for you to have a good run at Daytona International Speedway. I know you've got some confidence because of what you've already done at the track. But talk a little bit about what you've done to kind of prepare for this race.
Yeah, for sure. I wish I could say I had a full-time ride, but with the Canadian dollar being so low right now and the price of oil going down and whatnot, it makes it really hard coming from Canada to race in America. The dollar's just been killing us. I really wasn't even expecting to be able to get a ride for Daytona, and I ended up sending Steve Kopp and Joe Carapella a text of last year when we were out front and their names were all plastered all over everything. And I said, well, you guys want to go do this again? And next thing you know, we were making phone calls and got hooked up with Mason Mitchell Motorsports, and just kind of now I forgot the question that you asked, the important one. Want to repeat that?
That's okay. That's quite all right. No, it was just that, you know, I just wanted you to kind of talk about how much this would mean to you to be able to do well at Daytona, because I think you understated it before, just what a big of a deal that would be for you to come up with a good finish at Daytona and what it would mean to you for the rest of your season.
Yeah,
I know
for
you're
sure.
Gonna be...
I think we...
Go ahead.
I think for sure if I could pull off a top three or a top five and even win the thing, the chances of me getting a second ride are a heck of a lot better if I wreck on lap one. So I got a little bit of pressure on me to do well in this race because I don't have a full-time ride. Maybe it'll open up some doors, and who knows. I know winning's a lot better than losing in the game of racing. So hopefully we can just go out Saturday and do our best and end up on top would be the ultimate goal. And that's really my expectation. A lot of people's expectations are to finish all the laps and maybe be like top 10 or top 15 or something, but I want to go out and win the thing.
Absolutely. I know that what I asked you now was, what are you doing to prepare yourself for a race of this magnitude and what it means to the rest of your season?
Oh, right. Okay. I've been in the gym quite a bit for the last couple of weeks, just getting a little bit more in shape than I usually am. And I've been on YouTube watching a lot of the videos and just kind of how it goes down a little bit with the ARCA cars, because they are a lot different than the trucks and the Xfinity and the Cup because they don't have that horsepower. Just kind of refreshing the brain a little bit. And after being in the car today, it's all coming back to me about super speedway racing and side drafting when a guy's on your outside and how you can help yourself with the side draft and just dragging the brake and never lifting, just dragging the brake. And it all came back to me about lap three today. So I'm mentally prepared, and it's not a very physical racetrack at all, but after the 80 laps, your brain sure does hurt because it's just a big high-speed chess game.
Absolutely. One of those games where you want to be in the right place at the right time to take advantage of an opportunity. Now, you're in really good equipment. You're driving chassis number 100 out of the Mason Mitchell Motorsports stable. That is from H. Scott Motorsports from last year. And they actually took the pole with that car at Daytona in 2014 with Dylan Kwasniewski. So your equipment seems like it's right up there to give you everything you need to compete well.
Yeah, for sure. When they said it was chassis 100 and it was a Turner Scott car, I knew for sure that I was getting a good piece. And when I got down to Mooresville to their shop, and I was checking out the body and the frame and everything. Everything done on this done right. And just with Dylan getting the pole with it gives me a little bit more confidence that it's not just looks. The thing is fast. And I was able to go down the pole down rig with all the boys and help out a little bit there getting all the numbers right. And then we took her down to the chassis dyno to make sure the power plant was strong, and it is. So I think we'll be in really good shape today. At the end of practice, we had a little bit of a clutch malfunction. We went out again we were going to go out to help our teammate Gus Dean improve his time so me and him could be really, really close and maybe even get to qualified together. But on my way out, the clutch had a bit of an issue, so I had to bring it back in. We threw it on stands, and the time limit was up, so... I'm sure the boys will get that fixed for the morning, and we'll be ready to roll for 9:30.
Yeah, you definitely need a teammate at Daytona. Now, just calling in and joining us now is Chris Knight from Catch Fence, and I think he may have a question for you, Cole.
Okay.
Chris, welcome.
I didn't know that I was going to be on with Cole, so I'm not real sure.
Oh, I apologize. okay. That's
well,
okay.
I mean,
here's
what I do want to talk about Cole Powell. You know, I was really impressed with Cole Powell because here's why. I talked to Cole last week, and he didn't know what he was doing for Daytona. He didn't know if he'd be racing. And within a span of probably 48 hours, he had an opportunity with Mason Mitchell Motorsports, and he put that opportunity together, and he was able to go out and be as competitive as he was. And Cole Powell is no slouch when it comes to restrictor plate racing. So I think him being teamed up with Mason Mitchell Motorsports, Cole was third or fourth fastest for a while and then ended up, I think, in the top seven. So I think when Cole Powell gets a chance.
High fifth.
Yeah, so when he gets on the chance to go out and practice tomorrow and qualify, I don't think you can look far between that 78 and the 98 because I think those Mason Mitchell Motorsports cars are extremely fast. And I think Cole Powell has a legitimate shot to win his first ARCA Racing Series race on Saturday afternoon.
Cole, your response.
I don't really know how to respond to that other than thank you for all the kind words. So I think Chris nailed it on the head with everything that he just said. Both our cars are really good, and we're expecting a 1-2 finish. And I'm just excited to get out there. And is it Saturday yet?
It will be.
We're getting close.
How do you feel?
I cannot wait.
How do you feel about group qualifying?
It can be a little bit sketchy. There's always that risk of wrecking and tearing your stuff up when you're out there with a bunch of other cars. I think you got to be a little bit aggressive to get that good time down, but know your limit to not push it far enough where you're not going to have a good car or a car at all to start Saturday's race. So this will be my fourth time doing it, so I kind of know a little bit what to expect with the chicken games that go on out there, and people say they're going to go and they don't go. And ARCA's only given us 4 minutes per session, though, so we're going to have to hustle to get a good three laps is all you're going to get, maybe, and that's if you're on it hammer down. So I think qualifying is going to be a really big thing, and I just hope I'm at the right place at the right time.
Did you think, you know, I sat in with the ARCA Racing Series drivers meeting with you today and listening to ARCA say that they weren't going to put the first, second, third, and fourth fastest cars all together in qualifying, that they were going to split them up, you know, maybe the first and the eighth and the 12th and the 16th and so on together. Do you think that's a good move?
It's kind of tough to say. They never really said if they're going to put the first to 15th place cars and then pick from there. I really hope that the big group that they pick is a lot smaller than what they were kind of anticipating to pick, because you're the fastest. You work so hard to be the fastest car in practice, and then you got to go out there and draft with maybe the 12th, 15th, 18th, and 20th place cars. You're not going to be getting a very good starting position at all. So, and then that's going to increase your odds of being in a wreck when you're starting at the back. And I don't know. I think they probably should have just did it the way they've done it the past 2 years and have the fast guys go with the fast guys and the slow guys go with the slow guys.
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, like I said, I just think that, you know,
well,
Daytona is known for pulling off upsets, and I don't think it would be the upset for some if Cole was able to get it, but I think it'd be I feel like the restrictor plates kind of owe him one. So I think when that green flag drops for Saturday afternoon's Lucas Oil 200 driven by General Tire, it's going to be a strong race. I mean, the top 33 cars were separated by a second, and I think that's the closest the ARCA Racing Series has been in a long time.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an exciting race to watch, absolutely. And, Cole, we are so thankful that you're able to take the time to be on our show tonight and talk about your practice session today, as well as your thoughts about racing at Daytona with the experience that you have and how much it means to you. Before you go, Cole, I want to make sure that we tell listeners what your social media handles are and how they can follow your action this weekend.
Yeah, my Facebook is just obviously Cole Powell. My Twitter is at Cole Powell, and I'm usually pretty good on the Instagram uploading during race weekends at least once or twice a day. So that's Cole Powell 73 is my Instagram. So if you guys are wanting to throw me a follow, I try to take some pretty cool pictures and keep my fans informed of how I'm doing.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you go out there and win at Daytona, we've got a spot for you on the Monday night radio show. So keep that in mind.
Awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to talking to you on Monday, hopefully.
Okay, cool. Good luck to you at Daytona, and we'll be watching and cheering you on.
Awesome.
I'll see you
Thanks
tomorrow.
For having me on your show.
Good luck, man.
Thank you.
Okay. Chris and Joe and Brian, that was Cole Powell with the ARCA Racing Series and Mason Mitchell Motorsports. And I'm really impressed. I think he is going to have a good run. I agree totally with Chris that he certainly has a chance to go out there and win it with the experience that he has under his belt at those super speedways and with the equipment that he's in this weekend. So Mason Mitchell took the championship not last year but the year before, and he was competing against Grant Infinger, who is not even going to be in the race this weekend. So it's anybody's game this weekend at Daytona International Speedway. With that, I do want to move to our latest news from the track with Chris Knight. Since you called into the show, Chris, I want to talk to you, and we can get Joe and Brian's thoughts on some of this as well. Some of the news that came out today with some of the procedure changes in the NASCAR's Top 3 Series, because there's qualifying changes, there's restart changes, all kinds of changes.
Yeah, so there's also points changes as well for the Top 3 Series.
That's right.
Go ahead.
I was going to say they used to get the 43 points if they came in first. Now they're only going to be getting 40 points, and it will
Correct.
Go down from there with each position that they earn during the race. So last year, even if they didn't have 43 cars in the field, they still got that 43 points. This year that won't
yeah,
happen.
Yeah, so the first place will get 40 points, and last place will get 1 point.
Right.
That's one of the changes. And then so let's be clear that for this NASCAR Sprint Cup Series and NASCAR Xfinity Series, that's how it's going to play out. And then for the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, where they have 32 starters, first place will get 32 points, and then last place will get 1 point. And then obviously we saw a lot of changes today from NASCAR as far as procedural and instructional changes, including for the races at Daytona. And we do know that – obviously, the new charter system that was announced this week will lock in 36 cars for the Great American Race, which is the Daytona 500. And then we have the Grand Am dual races on Thursday, a week from today, actually. We'll have the dual races, and those dual races will allow one position per race for the non-locked-in charters, the open charters is what they call them, the open cars. And then the other two positions will fall back to qualifying speed from Sunday's Daytona 500 qualifying. So, and then there's obviously procedures if it rains or if qualifying is washed out or different procedures, but that's basically how it rolls. And then we saw there's a change.
Okay, is everybody here?
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay. For some reason, I was disconnected. I don't know if everybody was disconnected or not, but
I am back.
Do we still have NIDR?
Okay. I know I had to call back into the show, so if everybody could just call back into the show. For some reason, we were kicked out. We are trying to get reconnected here to continue on with the show. So, Brian, I know you're here. Joe, are you here?
Yeah, I'm here, Sharon.
Okay, and what about NIDR? Chris
Knight? I'm just a three right now.
Okay. If Chris can call back into the show, that would be great. I don't know where it left off because I kind of got cut off midstream, and I'm not sure. If you guys can just give me an update, that would be great.
I think Chris was talking about the new points package and talking about the possible rules of the new overtime rules and everything. I think that, I believe that's what we were getting to.
Okay. I'm hoping Chris will call back into the show so that he can continue on with that conversation. Again, I'm not sure, quite sure what happened, but we are back on air, and we'll go ahead and continue on with the show. Let's kind of go around the table and get your thoughts about the two changes that Chris has already outlined for us, those two changes being the points and the qualifying procedures. Brian, your thoughts?
Well, I imagine, I know they had to do changes at this point, you know, because they trimmed down to 40, which I know is totally understandable. And as far as I know, I imagine we'll still have knockout qualifying as far as I'm concerned, depending on the track it is. But the only thing that's got me concerned is the so-called overtime line that they're using. I mean,
We're not going to talk about that just yet, okay? We're focusing right now on the points change and the qualifying change.
Okay. I mean, it makes sense to actually use the – I mean, to go from 40 to 1 point and everything, because Excuse me.
Okay.
It makes more sense, you know, since you're trimmed down and everything.
Right, right. Joe, what are your thoughts?
I like it. I think it's good. The only thing I'm starting to get afraid of, it just seems like NASCAR is just throwing out changes in rules and now with the charters. I sometimes think that maybe they should just leave things be. But, I, like I said, I love the sport, and I'm going to go along with it, but it just seems like from year to year they have to change stuff, and I hope it's okay. I guess we'll see how it shakes out, but I just wish they'd sometimes go two or three seasons as is, but hopefully it's all for the good. I'm still hesitant on some of the things, but I'm going to give it a shot for sure. I think it's okay.
I think you echo probably the sentiment of several fans who are not happy that NASCAR is always changing. But the analogy that I think I would throw out there is, we like to update our car. We like to update our clothes. We don't like wearing the same clothes every day necessarily. I know women don't. You like to get a new truck. You like to get a new car. We don't go from year to year without making some kind of changes in our lives. And I think the same thing is true with NASCAR. In order for them to grow into the future with their fans, change is necessary. And one of the things, and I'm going to kind of switch to downforce here, but one of the changes is making some changes to the downforce. NASCAR's been struggling with trying to get cars to be able to pass on the track. And I'm all for anything that they can do for us as fans to watch more passing on the track and to see more close finishes on the track. I hear what you're saying. NASCAR does make a lot of changes, and I think they're in a position where changes are necessary in order for them to grow the sport. And if they do nothing and just maintain, I think my fear is that they would become irrelevant in years to come. And I think NASCAR is looking at years ahead of where we are right now in trying to develop into something that will keep the sport healthy. So, if from that perspective, I'm all for any kind of changes that they can make that will make the racing better for fans and the sport more lasting for the future. So just some food for thought there. Chris, have you joined us back yet? Okay. Now, Brian, I know you brought up the overtime line. Briefly, I just want to explain that they're going to have an overtime line that will affect restarts this season. And basically, that overtime line, to my understanding, is going to be placed somewhere on the track past the start-finish line. And some of the things that I saw is that on big super speedways like Daytona, and probably most of the tracks, it's going to be opposite of where the start-finish line is on the backstretch. So when they do a restart now, if the lead car does not pass that overtime line and a caution comes out, then they will go back and do another restart. And they will keep doing that until they can get that lead car past the overtime line. So once the car passes the overtime line, then the race goes ahead and finishes the rest of the race. So I want to get your guys' thoughts about the overtime line. I know, Brian, you started to express a little bit of concern about that. Brian?
Well, I mean, I see where if they want to – I know that I guess they're going to – instead of just the maximum three green white checkers, they're going to keep doing it until they throw the white flag. If I understand correctly, all things that concern me, if the Golden start, if they're going to put an overtime line, why could they not put it on the start finish line? If it's on certain tracks, you know, I can understand it, but why not on the start finish line? And that's what's confusing to me.
Well, Joe, Brian, I think if you think back to last year, there was a race, and I can't think of the track right now, but there was a race where they did use the start-finish line to say that, you know, the race was complete because the driver had passed the start-finish line and they weren't going to go back and do the restart. There were a lot of complaints about that, and I think this is NASCAR's response to that. They want to give the drivers more of an opportunity to get the race started. And the feeling is that they can put that overtime line on the opposite end of the start-finish line. It gives them a chance to really get going. And if they can't get going because a caution comes out real quick, then instead of doing what they did last year and ending the race, and we don't get to see them race back to the finish line, what's going to happen is that they will again go back and restart. So I think it's in response to what happened to that race last year. Joe, your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I agree. I think that's probably why. I like it. I don't have a problem with it. It seems like a small change, but I think it's okay. It'll be interesting for sure. And as we know, all fans love the green-white checker, so I think it's okay. I don't have a problem with that little one. No problem at all.
Yeah, I'm with you. I really don't have a problem with that. And in many respects, I think it's actually going to be a better situation, you know, than what they had last year with three green-white checkers. Because if there's caution after caution after caution, because we've all heard cautions breed more cautions, then we know that they're going to go back and restart and get that race started. Get that race going so we can watch them race back to the finish line. So I think that's a good thing, and I'm all for that change. So with that, I'm going to check one more time to see if Chris has come back to us. Chris, are you there? It tells me that he's here, but for some reason we can't hear him. Let's go ahead now then and preview the sprint Unlimited. Joe, you were going to give your race winner first, and then I was going to give mine for the ARCA Racing Series. Who's your race winner for the ARCA Racing Series?
I'm going to go with our guest. I'm going to go with Cole. I'm hoping he does well and gets some more exposure and gets a full ride. Like he was saying about the Canadian dollar up here, I think it's a little tougher road when you're up here to make it big down there. And he's a good kid, and he deserves a break. So I'm hoping he doesn't lay back. I hope he charges up through the field and wins and gets his name out there and picks up a full ride for the year. I think it'd be great for him.
Yeah, I agree with you. I couldn't agree more. I would love to see Cole Powell be able to get a full-time ride, and how he does at Daytona could certainly help him with that effort. And so I'm really hoping he has a really great race out there at Daytona International Speedway. The other sentimental favorite, I guess, would be Frank Kimmel, because this is his encore tour in the ARCA Racing Series. I know a lot of fans would love to see him come away with a win at the ARCA Racing Series as well. So, you know, I definitely want to put his name out there as well as a fan favorite. And like I say, he did so well with that last year. We know all of these drivers want to do well at Daytona International Speedway. I guess we're just going to have to wait till Saturday's afternoon's race. Again, that's at 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, February the 13th, and you can watch on Fox Sports 1. Now, do you get Sports 1 in Canada, Joe?
It's a pay package you can get. I'm going to stream it on my laptop, but yeah, you can pay a little more and get it for sure.
Okay, great. And I think the race is probably going to start about 15 minutes after the start of that television coverage. And then you can also follow along. If for some reason you can't watch it on TV, go to ARCARacing.com. They do a great job of keeping fans abreast with what's going on at the racetrack, and we'll keep you up to date with what's happening on the track. So we will do that. Now, we're scheduled to spin the show at 10 o'clock tonight, Eastern time. I want to do a quick check with you guys. Are you available a little past that if we go a little longer than 10 o'clock?
Yeah, it's okay with me. Let's do it.
Okay. So with that, we may go past our 10 o'clock time. We will not go off the air because I kind of planned for an extra half hour here in case we needed it. I don't think we're going to need the extra half hour, but I do want to get into the Sprint Unlimited and do our preview of that. It's going to be a 75-lap race with a caution lap at lap 25. That's the break in between the two segments. And there are several drivers that are eligible for this year's Sprint Unlimited. And two drivers that are eligible but may not be able to, will not be in the race. And that is, first of all, Jeff Gordon, because he's retired and not going to be racing at Daytona this season. And then secondly, Tony Stewart, who had a racing accident, broke his back, the L1 was experienced a burst fracture. And so tomorrow they're going to be announcing who's going to replace him at the Daytona 500 race and perhaps beyond. But for this race, for the Sprint Unlimited, taking Jeff Gordon's place, the next person available is Casey Mears, who's eligible to run in his place. And then behind him is Ricky Stenhouse Jr., who is now eligible to race in place of Tony Stewart. So we will see Casey Mears and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. in that event. It's the 2015 Coors Light Pole winners, the former Sprint Unlimited winners, the former Daytona 500 pole winners, the chase for the Sprint Cup Series drivers that aren't included in the other segments there, and then the 2015 drivers who are eligible based on points, and that brings in more drivers. So looking at the list of drivers, I'm not going to list them all here, but I will tell you it's listed on fansforracing.com, everybody who is eligible. Who are the drivers that you think are the drivers to watch in the Sprint Unlimited on Saturday night? And we'll go to Joe for that, to start that off.
Yeah, there's a couple of drivers. Of course, Dale Jr., everybody knows, runs super, super strong in Daytona with an average in 26 races, one pole, two wins. Average placing of 14th, I believe. So he's a strong favorite, but I'm curious as a Martin Truex Jr. fan's out. He finished second last year. He's in Toyota. He's got really good equipment, partners up with Joe Gibbs, and I'm looking for big things out of the 78 this year.
Okay. And I have to agree with you on both counts. Brian, your drivers to watch this weekend at the Sprint Unlimited.
Okay, well, way I'm seeing it right now, and looks, as far as I know, looks like from overall stats, Joe Gibbs Racing won three of the last four Sprint Unlimited, and Kenseth won last year. And what I want to see right now, I'd like to see Kenseth win and try to hopefully redeem himself for what happened last year with Logano. And it looks like from the Joe Gibbs camp, he's probably got the best chance of repeating the Sprint Unlimited. As he's, not only has he won Sprint Unlimited, he's won two Daytona 500s, and he's won a couple of Can-Am dual wins. And it looks like, as far as overall experience, Kenseth would be the heavy favorite.
Okay. He is the defending race winner, so there's good reason to feel good about that pick as well. And you know, I want to kind of point out, you know, some other drivers that are really good on the super speedways. David Gilliland is actually going to be in the Sprint Unlimited. He doesn't have a full-time ride this season. I know that he's going to race the Daytona 500 with Front Row Motorsports, but David Gilliland is in the Sprint Unlimited on Saturday night, and he's really good on the super speedway, so he could be a driver to really keep your eye on as well. Now, I also want to shout out that tomorrow, Jamie McMurray and Chip Ganassi Racing, they have an announcement that they're making. So it'll be interesting to see what that announcement is for tomorrow. I was going to ask Chris about that, but since he's not here, we're not able to ask him that question. But I do think that, you know, Jamie McMurray is another driver who's really good on the super speedways. So I think he could be another driver to keep an eye on. And another guy who you wouldn't necessarily think of, but I think is really good on the super speedways, is Eric Almirola. He's had some really good runs on the super speedways, and I think he could be another driver to really keep your eye on. I think this is a really great race to watch because these drivers are going to get their first chance in this in the 2016 rules package to race at Daytona in preparation for the Daytona 500 and all of the qualifying races. So this is they're going to push the limits and they're going to do everything they need to do to see what their car can and cannot do on that track. So I think it's going to be an exciting race. Any other drivers you want to shout out, Joe?
Actually, I just got a question for you two. This, the Unlimited being a non-points race,
mm-hmm.
I was thinking if Kenseth and Logano are going to end up together, so to speak. I don't think Kenseth is that type of driver. I know I wasn't pleased with him when he dumped Logano, but I was just wondering, this being a non-points, I'm just wondering how those two are going to race around each other.
Oh. Go ahead, Brian.
Well, I would hope that this has been a new season and everything. I'd hope they put this behind them and everything. And I know Kenseth wanted to try to deliver a message, but it went a lot further than what everybody realized. And I knew eventually that they was going to pass after how Logano raced them in Kansas. But I'm just hoping that it'd be a clean race. I mean, it's a new season. It's a new year. You're just racing for money right now. There's no point to fall. I mean, I'm hoping they'll race cleanly. I really do.
Yeah, I would agree with you. They say that drivers never forget. And so I think it's always going to be in the back of both of their minds. We might see a flare-up again sometime during this season. But I think overall, I think both of these drivers want to put this behind them because when you think of it, you know, it didn't benefit either driver. It never does when they get caught up in these types of situations. So if they can put it behind themselves, I think it'll be a bigger benefit to them and their teams if they're able to do that. But, Joe, what's your thought about that?
What's my thought on it, on those two?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think they'll be able to put it behind them?
I hope so. Like I said, and I'm not bashing. I love the sport. I love all the drivers. And I agree with Brian. I think Kenseth tried to send a message, but I think it went too far. And although it seemed like he got a lot of good press out of it, I wasn't too pleased with it myself. But I'm hoping he seems like a mature enough veteran that I'm hoping it doesn't happen again. I agree with you too. I don't think it's going to be an issue. I hope.
Yeah, I think if they do,
I think we're all kind of hoping that.
Yeah, if they do meet up again, it'll probably be under different circumstances this time, and hopefully it won't be under so much pressure like it was during the chase and everything. It was everything happened during the chase. Everything was so high up and everything, and that's pretty much what stirred up all these emotions and everything. Because
because one driver would be on the bomb, they'd be trying to fight back, get up there, and all of a sudden their chances are gone, and something happens, and something clicks them, and it all just gets unraveled and everything. And this is how it went with them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens. But I hope they're smart about it, and I hope they do put it back behind them and race to go out there and race each other clean. And I think all drivers ultimately want to do that. It's when that pressure is on them is when they tend to get themselves into trouble. Brian, did you have any other drivers you wanted to shout out for this weekend?
Well, hopefully Kyle Busch will hopefully he'll stay healthy. Hopefully he won't go into a freak accident like he did last year. And I like to see try to see Kyle repeat and everything.
What about dark horses? Who's your dark horse to win the Sprint Unlimited this year?
Dark horse. I tell you what. With the career here that Truex had, I would like to see him try to win it for a change.
Okay. Your dark horse, Joe?
I'm thinking Danica, only because everybody's going to jump on me, but I think she's been around long enough, and she's had a pole at the 500, so she runs well in Daytona. And I kind of think it's time. She's got new sponsor. They made some changes in her crew. And I think she could be a player in it. I really do. I'm hoping she has a good year this year. I know she takes a lot of flack from the fans, but like I say to fans on social media all the time defending her, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it racing in cup racing.
Right.
So I'm pulling for her as well.
Okay, I think Martin Truex and Danica are both good picks. Danica's good on the super speedways, and she's been known to run up front on the super speedway, so it would not surprise me to see that happen. I think the challenge for Danica sometimes comes with her competitors. I think they don't like to see her sometimes up front. So it's that male-female thing, I think. You can't let the girl pass you.
Right.
But I do think that Danica is a good super speedway racer, and I think she definitely is a good dark horse. The other dark horse that I'm going to put out there is Austin Dillon. I think he's another driver that could do really well in this race and could surprise everybody and pull off a win in the Sprint Unlimited, and wouldn't that be huge if you were able to do that? But there are a lot of really great super speedway drivers out there. Another dark horse that comes to mind is A.J. Allmendinger. I think he's another driver that could kind of surprise some people at Daytona this weekend for the Sprint Unlimited. I think all of those guys are good dark horse picks. Let's go and around now and talk about who your race winner pick is for the Sprint Unlimited. Joe, you want to start this one?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Kevin Harvick. Harvick, as we know, past champion, runs well every track. He's aggressive enough, but still he holds back until the last remaining laps. And I'm gonna go with Harvick.
Okay. Brian, your pick. I think I know who it is, but go ahead and tell us your pick.
Well, like I was saying before, I'm basing it on how things went last year. And you brought up a good point right there about Harvick being having a chance to win his next one. He should, you know, he had trouble with passing last year. It's why he had so many second place finishers. It was probably why it prevented him from repeating his Sprint Cup champion. But I'm going to go with a repeat winner. I'm going to pick Kenseth. Because Kenseth needs to redeem himself real bad.
I think Kenseth is a good pick. I think that Harvick is a really good pick. I'm probably going to get some people are going to love me, some people are going to hate me for this one, but I'm going to pick Jimmy Johnson. I think Jimmy Johnson wants to get his season off to a good start, and he's going to use this Sprint Unlimited to really build some momentum for his team. And I think we might see Hendrick Motorsports back in victory lane at the Sprint Unlimited on Saturday night. So I'm going to pick Jimmy Johnson.
Good pick. Good pick.
Okay. I think they're all good picks. And I think it's going to be a fun race to watch. I really do. It's going to be interesting to see what Roush Fenway does. They've had a couple of years that they've struggled. They've got a chance now to kind of start off their season on a high note. And I'm really kind of anxious to see what the Roush Fenway racing drivers do this weekend, too.
Right.
Okay. So with that, I've got a trivia question, and we're at that point now where I talked about what fans could do to get the hero card from Hunch Brothers Pizza Racing, and they just have to buy a pizza, take a picture of the purchase, and then go to HunchBrothersPizza.com/hero card and upload that photograph. And they will get a hero card of Kevin Harvick and Hunts Brothers Pizza. Now, we've got some Harvick swag from Hunts Brothers Pizza that we want to give away tonight, and I have a trivia question. So if everybody's still with us, which I hope they are, if you're still with me, the question is how many well, first of all, let me say, if you're a media member, please don't call in. We had a giveaway one time, and a media person called in, and I didn't know they were with the media, and they ended up winning. So if you are a media person, please don't call in for this. This is for the fans. If
Can
you
we at least get
are,
a free 3,000?
Well, you're going to get what they're going to get is Kevin Harvick and Hunts Brothers Pizza racing swag. So the question is, and I'm going to go with the first person who gives us the correct answer, you need to call this number. The number is 929-477-1790. That's 929-477-1790. The question is, how many Sprint Unlimiteds Kevin Harvick won? And it would be really cool if you can tell us what years he won those Sprint Unlimiteds. So give us a call and tell us how many wins does Kevin Harvick have in the Sprint Unlimited, and you'll have a chance to win that Harvick swag from Hunts Brothers Pizza. We don't have any calls yet. I'll look and see if anybody is tweeting me. And it's a shame that we had some problems, some technical issues tonight. I think we may have lost a few listeners with the technical issues.
I'm always doing the
pizza. I'm sorry?
I'm always doing the pizza. I kill pepperoni every week, so I want the pizza more than anything.
So you can vouch for how good their pizza is, right?
Oh, they are one of the best. I love Hunt Brothers. They are one of the best.
Okay. So if you know the answer, how many Sprint Unlimited wins does Kevin Harvick have? Give us a call at 929-477-1790. If you're shy and you can't call in for some reason, tweet me at Fan for Racing Site. That's F-A-N, the number 4, racing, S-I-T-E, at Fan for Racing Site. And tell me how many wins does Kevin Harvick have in the Sprint Unlimited, and you will have your chance at winning the Kevin Harvick swag. Now, I do have a backup plan if nobody calls in for who could win that Kevin Harvick swag. So let me just see here if I have any tweets. Let me ask you guys, okay? I'm looking here. I have absolutely no tweets. Okay, there's no calls in the queue. I want to make sure before I go to you guys. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to announce the winner right here because nobody's called in yet. The winner is going to be someone who retweeted the information earlier today, and it is at Kazilla24T. So I'm going to go ahead and give them the Kevin Harvick swag from Hunt's Brothers Pizza, and I'm going to ask that person if they're listening, if they're to DM me or direct message me on Twitter with your details of how we can send the Harvick swag to you. Now, I'm going to ask you guys if you know the answer to the trivia question.
I think he won in 2009, I'm thinking.
That was one of the years that he won, yep, yep.
Yeah.
How many wins does he have, do you know?
Two, I believe.
Brian?
Three.
Okay. Yes, Kevin Harvick has three wins in the Sprint Unlimited. The year that you mentioned... let's see, he won in 2013, he also won in 2009, and in 2010, he had a back-to-back win in those years, very similar to Kevin Harvick, what you're hoping that Kevin Harvick does this year.
Right.
So, but Kevin Harvick has three Sprint Unlimited wins, and that is the answer to our trivia question for tonight. I will get in touch with Godzilla, and we'll make sure that we get that information so that we can send the Kevin Harvick swag to that listener. So there we go. We do have a winner tonight. I want to go around the table one more time, guys, and let's talk about what you're working on. And what fans can look from you in the next few days over the weekend as far as writing, and then what your social media handles are so that they can follow you. So, Brian, let's go ahead and start with you.
Okay. My Twitter handle is at BSL underlined SEC underlined NASCAR on Twitter. And am I allowed to say who I write for?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I write for BoneheadPicks.com. As I said earlier in the show, I write not only NASCAR articles, I also write SEC football articles. I pull double duty for them. And what I'm looking forward to writing about, I'm looking to do some previews on the Sprint Unlimited this Saturday. And
by the way, you also write for Fan for Racing, right?
I'm sorry?
You also write for Fan for Racing, right?
Right.
Okay. I just want to make sure we mention that, too.
Okay. I have done a little bit off the wall things one there now and then. I've written about the TV revival show there now and then. But mostly I'm more focused on NASCAR and SEC football. Those are my two main sports altogether. I've evolved into watching SEC and NASCAR for the last several years, and so much I started writing my own stuff and everything, trying to get my own thing and everything, and so far I've gotten a positive response from a lot of people from it. I've been doing it for over a year now.
Okay, and we can look for some Sprint Unlimited articles from you on Fan for Racing this weekend, correct?
Right. I'll be doing try to do a preview, not only for Fan for Racing, also for BoneheadPicks.com.
Oh, okay, that's great.
Okay.
Go ahead. What was also? Brian?
I'm sorry.
You had an also there?
I'm sorry. That's about it.
Oh, okay. Joe?
Well, I write for you, Sharon, of course, which I love. And
well,
I also have my own.
That.
I also have my own website, victorylanenews.com. And my Twitter is Victory Lane News. And the story I'm hoping to get together this weekend, I've been working on it for 4 or 5 months. I'm not going to say who the cup driver is, but we've been back and forth, and he's been busy. But it's a story on – he's a 17-year cup veteran. I won't give his name yet until we negotiate a little more. But it's just on what he's doing now. I want to give him a little bit of exposure. I want to help him out a bit. So we've been playing tag back and forth, but he's going to get back to me, I think, tomorrow. So I'm hoping to get the article published Saturday or Sunday. But like I said, it's been 4 months in the making, so it could be a little longer, but that's my focus. And then on my website, and for you, of course, I'll write all the results and the happenings of the weekend's races.
Absolutely. Well, I tell you what, guys, I know we had a little bit of technical issues tonight. We had a little bit of jitterbugs tonight, but I hope we had a little bit of fun as well. And I look forward to continuing the NASCAR weekend preview season with both of you as we continue to do our Thursday night show every Thursday throughout the season. We'll be previewing the weekend of racing. And as you know, next week's show is going to be really big. We'll be on air during the Daytona, the Can-Am Duels at Daytona. And we'll be able to preview the Daytona 500. We'll be able to preview the Camping World Truck Series race and the Xfinity Series race, all season openers for NASCAR's Top 3 Series. So I think that's going to be fantastic next week's show. So hopefully we've got the jitterbugs out of the way and we got an idea of the kind of the flow without the technical issues. And we'll get better as we get into a flow here. Now, I do want to tell you, next Monday night for our NASCAR Race Talk, NASCAR and Race Talk show with NASCAR Hot Topic Sound Off with Chris Knight, for the first part of the show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, we're going to have Ryan Preece on the show. As you know, he's racing in the ARCA Racing Series. He's also going to be racing in the Xfinity Series next week. So we'll be able to talk to him after the ARCA Racing Series and before his Xfinity Series race, and about his 2016 season. And then at 9:30, we have Brian Olson from the Spears Southwest Tour. They're gearing up for their second annual Winter Showdown with the Spears SRL Tour, and it is huge. They did really great in their first event last year. This is the second annual, and it's already getting to be a really, really huge event out there on the West Coast, similar to their hope is to be similar to what the Snowball Derby is out here in the East. So definitely fans will want to tune in this coming Monday night for our 8:40 segment. We're hoping to get the race winner from either the ARCA Racing Series or the Can-Am East Series. So stay tuned for our show on Monday night starting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time with NASCAR Hot Topic Sound Off with Chris Knight at 10 p.m. So, guys, any parting comments before we close out?
Sharon, I just want to say thank you for giving me the opportunity to help do your show and everything. And, you know, since with my writing and everything and starting to help you out with the radio and everything, I hope it's an opportunity to help you out and help me boost my writing career and everything. I just want to thank you for the opportunity. I'm looking forward to every Thursday night, and I'm looking forward to get this season started.
Okay, Brian. I'm really happy to have you on board. And Joe?
Along with the same, Sharon, I wrote to you and asked to write for you, and you accepted. And it's been a pleasure. And I'm thrilled to be co-hosting with Brian and you in this show on Thursday nights. And I think it's going to be a great season.
Okay, I do too. I'm really looking forward to it. And I'm glad to have our Fan Refreshing team as kind of a part of this show. And Chris Knight will be able to call in on occasion. He might not be able to call in every single week. And hopefully we won't have the technical issues that we had tonight. But we do hope to hear from Chris Knight, especially at Daytona next week. So with that, guys, thanks for a great night. I really appreciate your support and sharing your thoughts and helping me preview the upcoming weekend of racing. So take care and have a great week.
Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you, Sharon. And thanks, Brian. Take care.
Thanks, Joe.
Good night, guys.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.